Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent Breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from an undisclosed location, this is Real Spoilers, episode 214, the box office report for the week ending September 4th. Well, 4th-ish, because it's Labor Day. It's like this, yeah. So I don't know how they're... Well,
we have 3 and 4 day estimates.
So. Yeah, so yeah. It's kind of September 5th-ish, even though
$8.
That's
my guess.
Yeah. $1, Bob. Even though we're recording it on the 4th, it's through the... I'm all spun around. Let's go around the table and introduce ourselves. This will be easy.
This is Dad.
Kevin.
Tom. There we go. Then there were three. Like Genesis.
Oh, no.
What?
I would rather even be like the Jim Morrison-less Doors.
Zing. No, I wouldn't.
Well, yeah. The Genesis? Ooh.
I'm just thinking but based on money.
Okay. Well, yes.
I'm beyond all right. Caring. And I think I'd rather go with Genesis because I'm short, fat, and bald, which I think makes me the Phil Collins.
Hmm. I think you might actually be Phil Collins.
What's that?
I'm going back to the Doors.
So is Joe on maternity leave?
He's they're researching recipes for baby food salsa.
Oh, okay.
That's what's going on right now.
Oh, another one.
There's a nice callback for
there you go.
For the people that listen closely. So shameless plugs this week. Don't forget, you can go to Facebook and you can share and you can like our page if you haven't yet. You can join the League of Show Shares. People who have joined the League of Show Shares, it's a pretty good list this week. Lane Levanway, Tammy Sherman.
I thought
Power.
You said it was a good list.
Yeah, I know. I realized as soon as I said that, I was like, well. So Lane Levanway, Tammy Sherman Powers, Librarian Cynthia, Brent Smith, Joy Gilbert, Timmy Two Zoons, Brett Schulte, Griffin Fox Smith.
Whoa, wait a minute. Hold on.
That's a new one.
Dan, I think you need to do the welcoming song.
Welcome.
Oh, that was
thank you.
And you just made that up on the top of your head.
Wait, you didn't give me a bouncy C. I know a guy named Griffin.
I think you and I might be the only people that know what
I
you're talking about.
I think it was
about.
Just funny, though.
So thank you, Griffin. We have a new League of Show Sharers. Your badge is in the mail. Travis Tewitt, Dustin at Nerds at Night Gaming, Julianne Jordan, Chris Sanders, Jason Antris, Chris James.
Wait a minute. Damn.
Welcome.
So that's two new League of Shows. Yeah. That's pretty cool. And Jason Hendren, is that a new one? I think that might be a new one too.
Welcome.
Oh, it's a remix. You're like R. Kelly. Welcome to the remix.
Oh boy, well, I better get out of here.
No,
hold on.
No. Oh, okay. I'm not like R. Kelly.
Okay,
I'm nothing like R. Kelly.
Thank you for clarifying. I was about to leave.
I
think you're safe.
To the restroom.
Well, but soon we'll have one down here.
Yeah, okay.
Soon we will have one down here.
Yeah. Yes, by myself.
We're getting there. So also don't forget that we're available on iTunes. You can go there, rate, review. We haven't had one in a while, so it would be quite the day brightener if you haven't left us a review. If you carved a little time out of your day and dropped by and said something nice.
We do have an email, though.
We do.
Yay.
Oh, goodness.
This email is from Alexis, and the subject is Date Easy with English-Speaking Russian and Ukrainian Women.
Ooh. Oh, hey, Alexis. How are you?
Well, thank you, Alexis.
Welcome to the show.
There's no text in it. There's an image, and it says in the image to insert my social security number. So that's it. I don't know what she wanted exactly. But
I'm sure that's all they're wanting you to insert.
Did Joe leave that before?
Okay, well, thank you. Okay. Well, thank you, Kevin. So coming up next week, wait, I said thank you, Kevin, and I rolled right into it. Yeah, that's just muscle memory.
You're just not used to how we do the email thing.
Yeah, that is definitely not encoded in my muscle memory.
Yeah.
So I don't know, I guess that's it for shameless plugs.
Yeah, I mean, unless you want to talk about how you handle 30 inches in a 15-inch space.
I thought we were going to cut that part out.
Oh. Yeah, that's
never mind.
Gone.
Yeah.
Camping, something. Okay.
Something yes. Camping, so... Okay, well, then this might be the quickest time ever. We will turn our eyes to the box office. You can tell we're all sleepy.
Are we just boring without Joe? Is that what we're trying to
that
say?
Could
like,
be.
We have nothing to say?
He is the magic elixir that keeps this thing humming.
Well, I mean, we would have had at least a few expletives at this point. So.
That's true.
Yeah, I know. My editing time is going to be way down.
Yeah, we would have just veered off just because we would have had to reprimand him and try to apologize for something he had said or done.
I'm not Italian. I'm Sicilian.
Yeah, that's good. And then I feel like, Dan, if you can at least handle one WWE reference, one Ronda Rousey reference, and what else does he like? All the drug prices.
Yes. Okay.
Okay. And I'll try and defend Monster Squad.
Okay. All right. So at least just split these things up. I have to edit, so I'm doing my part.
Got
so
it.
Okay. So we've all got our parts.
You have to edit. So. Okay.
Okay.
We're good.
Okay.
Okay. Wrestling.
All right. One of three down.
Okay. Good.
I'm going to save my reference. Okay. So we will turn our eyes to the box office. Kevin has his abacus at the ready. Kevin.
I do, Tom. And we were talking briefly before the show, but I wanted to let the listeners know that usually we get predictions for the box office before we come into the episode.
This is Kevin apologizing in advance for the movie we picked this week.
So our predictions were that opening this week, Morgan, the movie of the day, would be the number one opening movie. And number two would be some
the
Magneto.
Light Between Oceans.
Okay, starring Michael Fassbender and who else?
I don't know.
Yeah, okay, exactly. So
the chick that he's in love with.
In the movie?
In real life. They fell in love while making the movie.
Ah, gotcha. Okay. So anyway, so our predictions are usually pretty close to the actual box office. And I will just say ahead of time that they were nowhere near what the actual box office is. So we did pick the movie based on the predictions and, you know, the genres, you know, somewhat in our wheelhouse for making fun of. But
I would just like to point out, I was lobbying for the other one.
You were.
You were.
It's just two and a half.
It's because you saw it.
Well, yeah. And honestly, yeah. Even after seeing Morgan, I think the other one would have made a better choice just because there were lots of things. They made a lot of weird. The characters made a lot of weird moral decisions.
Tell us real quick.
Let's wait till we get to it in the box office.
Might be a while.
They'll live. That's what you call a tease in radio.
Ooh, okay.
Keep them listening.
Coming up. Yeah. Listen after the break. So, number one at the box office, Don't Breathe. The movie from last weekend.
Excellent.
Actually,
that makes sense.
Word of mouth.
Right. Number one with $14.6 million over the three-day, but reaching to $18 million on the four-day holiday weekend. So that's awesome.
And what did it do last week?
Well, it opened to $26 million.
So that's like a 20% drop?
Yeah. It opened to $26 million, and then over the four-day, $18 million estimated. So that's huge. I mean, that's a huge second week. For, you know, a small little movie, a $9.9 million budget.
Yeah.
So, I mean, not even a $10 million. And you're talking about worldwide, it's already up to 40 plus million dollars. So that can't go wrong with that. And I think it really speaks to the originality. Like, you know, we talked about last week. If you haven't heard it, go listen to that or go see this movie and then listen to that episode. But it's just not your run-of-the-mill horror movie, thriller movie. Like, it wasn't one that, you know, usually we sit there and we've seen so many movies that we're like, this is going to happen. Mm-hmm. That's going to happen. And it was solid. So good for that little movie. Number two, Suicide Squad.
Oh.
I mean, that really is hanging on there. I mean,
come on, people. Like, just stay home and read a book or something.
I mean,
even a comic book. But you're going to find way better if you like these characters.
Oh, for sure.
Like,
but another $10.1 million and $13.3 over the 4 day. So, I mean,
I bet you what you spend on a movie ticket to see Suicide Squad, you could buy a boomerang for. And go in your backyard.
Boy, this boomerang thing is really sticking in your tongue.
I don't think if you could call yourself Captain Boomerang and not actually.
And now that you mentioned it, I didn't even see any stripes on his shoulder.
Yeah. You know what? I think Dan wanted the blue outfit with the white boomerangs all over.
I would have been happier with that because then I'd say, well, technically he's
dressing like
snazzily referring to his own boomerangisms, but there's no boomerang.
He's got boomerangs hanging out. He could like call himself like Captain TGI Fridays. He's got like a sled and just random things somebody just found in the garage and nailed to the wall.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like if I was like, you know, nail gun man and I didn't actually nail anything, I'd be like, well, that guy, I think he kind of,
you know, it would
what
be
if
like,
it was nail gun man? If I was what if nail gun man was in high school? Because it takes a while before you really start nailing things.
Yeah, I know. But I just think, you know, if you're going to like bring somebody into your crew, you're going to be like, are you going to do your thing that we brought you
well,
in to do?
I mean, and not to delve too much into the movie from 6 weeks ago or whatever. But if you think about it, I mean, the more and more thought that I'm trying not to put into this movie. But Amanda Waller has assembled this team that I think we talked about last time. Like, why did they need these people?
Yeah.
So you're like, let's get the guy that can use a rope.
Yeah.
Let's get, I mean, you've
let's
got,
go to Australia
yeah.
to pick up that guy with the boomerang.
Let's get the boomerang guy that, what is his ability? Like, what is, Amanda Waller is trying to assemble this elite task force that does nothing.
Yeah.
What is the point? Harley Quinn has a baseball bat.
You know, I think maybe the reason, I think maybe part of the reason he doesn't use the boomerang so much is that he's not in Australia, and up here, they go clockwise.
Oh, he doesn't know how to throw it. Yeah,
he can't get it to sink right.
Got it.
That makes
it going the wrong way.
Yeah.
But if you think about it, besides from...
That's also why he didn't use the restroom.
Right.
Yeah. Freaked like, him out.
But it, crikey. Now, if we were in Germany, he would make your bunk.
There you go.
Yeah.
Awesome. Nice. But aside from Deadshot, who on that team did anything? Rick Flag and his team of soldiers that they brought on the mission were more qualified than anyone besides Deadshot. Deadshot was awesome. Like, it was ability wise, he was legit. But I just, the more I think about it, the movie, the plot, what they were trying to do, no sense at all. But anyway, I digress. But Suicide Squad is up over $650 million on a $175 million budget. I believe they said $600 million was the number they were trying to get to, not to break even, but to be a like a blockbuster success, and they're at $650. So they are considering this widely successful at this point.
It's funny, though, because it's considered a failure as well.
Yeah.
I mean, Hollywood accounting, or what do you mean?
No. I mean, I think generally, like, there's been enough bad press
right
with this and Batman v Superman, so they've had two really very financially successful movies that are just so lambasted, and not just by critics
right
but by audiences.
But you know what's different about this one? Like, Batman v Superman did have a lot of people that enjoyed it and fought for it. There were, when I say a lot, I mean there was that group. But I think Suicide Squad is more polarizing. You have the people that hate it, you have the critics, and then the fans that hated it, but you also have people that are just defending it like tooth and nail. I mean, if you go on Twitter or the boards or whatever, you got people like, oh, screw those people that didn't like it, it's a great comic book movie and blah blah blah. So I mean, I feel like Suicide Squad did something Batman v Superman didn't, where Batman v Superman was more the consensus. It was just not what anyone really wanted. But something about this movie, I don't know what it is, but it did appeal to, like, it was like 50-50 split, I feel like, on this one. And you can tell by the box office. I mean, number two after, what, 6 weeks or something? I mean,
but there's not much out there.
No, there isn't, really, but you don't have to go to the movies either. Like, they're choosing to go to the movies for $10 million.
I don't think DC is sitting around going, yeah, hey, we finally nailed it. Okay, keep doing that.
No, I don't think they're like resting on their laurels over this, but like box office wise, like for the C-list of characters they assembled, I don't know how they did it, but $650 million. And with the controversy, talk about controversy like Ghostbusters, and now they're talking about rumors. I mean, not for sure, but they're saying like probably no sequel based on that box office.
Right.
And then you've got this movie that was plagued with problems and reshoots and all that, and then it's a smash hit. So it's like it's a weird.
So what's its domestic gross at?
Domestic is at almost $300 million, and foreign is at like $350 million. So it's almost matched its foreign.
Yeah.
And it didn't come out. Was this the one that didn't come out in China?
Yes.
Right.
This didn't come out in China.
Oh,
because we were trying to figure out why.
We were like guessing maybe
because Huntress was
Katana
with the ghosts. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I mean, it did $350 foreign without China. Could you imagine? China would have been another what, $150?
Well, technically, it's out in China. It's just
right.
You know, you can pick it up for like $3.
Yeah. So anyway, but Suicide Squad, despite itself, has made a ton of money. So
but I will say, you look at something like Guardians of the Galaxy, which came out at the same time of year.
Yeah.
And I mean, that made like probably $100 million more.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
because it was good.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. I mean, when
I kept, well, and then also like the word of mouth just kept like this one. If there's word of mouth of people who they're like, yeah, it's not so bad. Versus Guardians was right. Like, oh my God, it was so good.
Guardians of the Galaxy was like non-comic book fans. I mean, it was like the Avengers phenomenon. Yes. You know what I mean? Non-comic book fans loved it. You know, my grandma probably went and saw it. Like, you know, like every single person, mm-hmm. it, no matter what, you know, that four quadrant hit,
yeah.
Guardians had it. Where Suicide Squad, honestly, you have to be a diehard or an action movie fan. Like, there's a very niche right. audience for that where it isn't going to be like grandmother's going to see it. It's mm-hmm. not going to cross over that barrier, no matter how hard they want it to, you know? And yeah. so Guardians was a phenomenon for sure. But anyway, so yeah, so this Suicide Squad making plenty of money. So we'll see what that ends up with. Number three, Pete's Dragon hanging in there as well. 6.9 million and 8.9 million over the 4-day weekend. So, you know, almost 9 million. That one, if we look at the total, 60 million domestic and another 20, 25 million foreign. So that's on a $65 million budget, though. So around 90 on a 65 still. I mean,
I don't think it's that. I mean, honestly, I think that's pretty good for what that movie is.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's almost better than I was thinking it was going to get.
Now that I see it, and it is about 1.5 times its budget, I didn't really think it was even going to get that either.
No.
You know what's interesting, though, is when Disney makes a movie, so I understand when a studio makes an art house movie, you know, all these independent movies that are good movies, maybe they're Oscar bait, they're not necessarily going for the box office.
Right.
But in my mind, I just feel like when it has the Disney name attached, and I'm not saying they have to, but when it has the Disney name attached, I feel like they're automatically trying to reach a broad
sure.
audience. It's Disney, you know, and you go see it.
I don't think they are. I mean, if it was a big hit, they would certainly be happy. But
sure.
I think that they're smart enough to know that they can cast the net wide, but mm-hmm. they can also cast the net narrow, and they can go after people that need a different kind of movie.
But I just wonder if that's yeah. in hindsight. Like, I get that, but what was the last Disney movie they did that with? If you're saying they thought that's what they were doing with this one, tell me the last one they did that, because I can't think of one.
Tron.
Oh, well, no, I'm sure they wanted that to be a big blockbuster.
Yeah, but I don't think they ever could imagine that it was going to be a massive blockbuster, just right. because
the first one wasn't. But
it wasn't, yeah, and it was a core group of fans.
Yeah, but I will say, here's where they do this with all the time.
Yeah,
is they make all these little. Like sports movies. There was that where John Hamm was like working for a baseball
sure.
team.
Went to India.
And then they got the one coming up about the girl plays chess in
That's
Africa.
True. That is sports
and,
stuff.
You know,
and the nature stuff.
Yeah, and the nature stuff.
And the nature stuff, definitely.
And, you know, and with a $65 million budget, like they did not. If they thought this was a blockbuster, this would have had 100.
Some money into
it would have had a Jungle Book budget.
True. Yeah.
And so I think that they were like, I mean, and I know they would never come flat out and say this, but like, I almost wonder if in a way that this is a movie for kids with special needs. Like, I don't mean that in like in a mean joking way, like,
no, like the way Inside Out helps.
No,
kids.
Like it's a quiet film. Like if you have a kid with sensory issues,
yes.
this movie is not going to overload that kid
in
the way that an Inside Out,
yeah,
even though it's
sure.
about how the brain works and stuff.
There's
but
a lot of colors
there's a lot of
stuff
going
on yeah.
where this okay. movie is very, mm-hmm. you know, is quiet in a way yeah. that you don't normally get in movies.
Hmm.
And so I don't know. Like I almost wonder if they're like, well, you know, we can make a movie that works on both levels.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they did. Like, I don't mean that it's like it's only for kids with autism. But
right.
But like
right.
if you do have a kid that you want to take to the movies, but that, you know, has sensory issues or can get overwhelmed by too much information, this is certainly a quieter film.
Yeah.
Compared to what is normally out there
Absolutely.
For kids.
Sure.
So.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah. I mean, Disney obviously can make a hell of a movie. It's just I'm just not used to them making movies that don't
yeah.
perform unless it was like was John Carter Disney?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So like they weren't trying to, you know,
yeah,
I mean,
they
like,
were clearly
unless,
trying.
They were. Yeah. They
I mean,
were,
we've seen them going. Swing and miss, but like I'm just not used to them putting out something that's like, you know, small budget and you know it will make its money and it was a good movie, but we don't want it to really be
yeah.
a blockbuster. It's like it seems like they're always swinging for the fences with when you're.
I mean, I think they swing for the fences
yeah.
a lot,
right.
you know, and they hit a lot,
sure.
you know, but.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, they have such a wide swath of
yeah.
material and,
right.
and audience that they can cover in different ways.
Yeah.
I mean, let's never forget, you remember that cartoon House of Mouse?
Yeah.
You know, they canceled that thing, not because it wasn't a hit, but because it wasn't a hit with the right people. Like, they had done studies that showed kids didn't care about Mickey Mouse. And they were like, what are we going to do? Our stock in trade is nostalgia. If we're not creating new people who like Mickey Mouse in their childhood, mm-hmm. they're not going to be nostalgic for it when they're adults. They're thinking 30, 40 years ahead.
Right.
And so they came up with House of Mouse. And they, like, Mickey will, like, host the, you remember the cartoon? Mm-hmm. It took place, like, in the Mickey Mouse nightclub. And he hosted it. And then they would...
All the old characters will be there in the nightclub.
All the old characters are there in the nightclub. And they filled... And then there was a lot of, like... It was a lot of clips of classic cartoons. Kind of like how the Looney Tunes thing used to be on CBS.
It was, like, a greatest hits.
Yeah. And it was a hit, but it was a hit with the adults,
right?
And they were like, "Oh, well, we don't need them." So even though it was a hit, they canceled it, and they were like, "Make something even younger," because they figured out that while they were targeting like 8 and 9 year olds, that by the time they got to 8 and 9, Mickey Mouse in their head was for babies,
right? Mm.
And even though the cartoon, even though House of Mouse wasn't for babies, and so they canceled House of Mouse. And came up with Mickey Mouse Clubhouse.
Mm. And that's for the real young.
Deliberately targeted like 2 to 5 year olds.
Yeah. And it worked.
And it worked.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
My son loved that show. We went to Disney the last 2 times. So we went to Disney. He was about 2-ish. And then we went when he was 6. So almost 6. So 4 years apart.
Yeah.
He loved it when he was 2. And we went to go see the Mickey Mouse Clubhouse thing live when he was almost 6.
Yeah.
So
I wouldn't be surprised if in 3 or 4 years you see them introduce a Mickey Mouse type thing like House of Mouse. Not necessarily the same premise, but targeting that age group.
They started off with
House. Now they can.
There is. You seen the new shorts that are being produced?
Oh, yeah.
The online shorts?
Oh, yeah. And they're almost all like on
they're
YouTube
almost like
and
John.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're like all they're, like almost like John Kay.
Yeah. I was just about to say, have you seen the shorts? Because they are more like, they do feel like a Ren and Stimpy cartoon. They're they are not as censored or reserved. Like when I watch it, I'm like, oh my gosh, these are Mickey Mouse cartoons.
Yeah.
Like I could not believe Disney let these get out there. And I don't mean there's nudity or cursing.
No, it's just
they're edgier. Yeah.
Which is good because, you know, part of the problem that they've had with Mickey Mouse for years is that once he became the face of Disney, there were so many like, you can'ts with Mickey.
Right.
And so, and how do you make a cartoon with all these you can'ts? Like it's a certain double standard, but nobody would ever take Bugs Bunny and say, well, you can't have Bugs Bunny be too mean, or you can't have Bugs Bunny be
we
too...
We can't have Bugs Bunny dress up like a lady.
Right, yeah. Like,
right.
Like
are
that
you
would,
sure? Because that's his thing.
Yeah, like, you know, but Mickey had all these parameters placed upon him, which made him less and less funny. So all he could do is kind of show up and be like, hey, I'm Mickey Mouse.
Hey, guys.
And
then everybody.
Yeah.
Hey,
that's pretty good.
That was Mickey
Mouse. And then
Mouse,
he was sanitized.
Yeah.
And that was it. Like,
And I think it's really smart, too, like how they live online, because that's where kids... Watch TV.
YouTube. Yeah. I mean,
like,
yeah, YouTube
3 to 7 minutes. My daughter loves that.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, I've seen every single one of those shorts. I love them.
They're
like,
great.
Whatever they're doing, like, I just thought to myself, whoever's in charge of these, whoever they're, Disney is letting, which is amazing, them write and produce this kind of content, I'm like, they're geniuses.
Yeah.
Like,
well, and I think what's the real genius of it is that for the most part, they seem to be living on YouTube.
Yes.
And that it lets Mickey fly below the radar for adults. If they put these out as this big package thing for adults, or they made it a show on Toon Disney.
Letters and phone calls.
Yeah, I think people are like, well, this is weird. Like, you can't do it. And that's the thing.
Yeah.
It's not even that it's offensive. It's just, sometimes it's just
it
weird.
Is weird.
It is definitely on the fringes of what you would have expected.
It gets very surreal at times. I saw one where it was like, well, like he loses his ears and then there's no sound and then like he loses another part of him and it was clever, but it was also very surreal, especially for a Mickey Mouse thing.
Yeah.
And it was funny. It was on the boat that we went on the Disney cruise.
Oh, yeah.
And my wife was kind of like, this is weird. I don't know that I like this. And I was like, well, one, it's not for us.
Yes.
You know,
right.
And I'm like, and honestly, like, you know, people said the same thing about Fantasia.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. They were like, this is weird.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do with this, you know?
It's just not what we're used to, you know?
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
not bad. I mean, it certainly isn't, because I think it's really good. But if you're not quite used to it and it's a little jarring, it's because you've never seen Mickey Mouse in these situations.
Yeah.
Like, they're putting him in. It reminds me of almost like not as bad, not as raunchy, but like it's more like Family Guy, or it's more like The Simpsons with a Mickey Mouse, and it doesn't get to quite that raunchy of a level, but it is more like a Simpsons-esque scenario. Like they'll talk about Mickey Mouse, I think one point he's dating or whatever, and I think someone tries to steal Minnie away or whatever. I think this is one of those episodes, but it has to do with like romantic relationship and just the situations they get into. I'm like, oh my gosh, they're putting Mickey through this. Like
if you go back and watch those early black and white ones,
those ones with Bluto like stealing Minnie or whatever,
there was
he did.
That
was crazy.
So it's basically there's a YouTube channel and they also have a mobile app. You can watch them either way. And there's Sparks, the mobile app also has commercials in there. Obviously for Disney. But the other cool thing about it is that they're in multiple languages. There's a Russian one. There's a couple Spanish ones. There's a Polish one. There's one that's in Indian.
You say Spanish?
Yeah, a couple Spanish.
Because I know, like, they're really smart.
Feliz cumpleaños is a big hit in our house. But there's a couple there's one where they're at the running of the bulls. And they are in the language.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter.
Right.
Because what happens, you know,
it's
a couple.
It's so visual.
Yeah.
It's physical rather than.
No, but I mean, I think I was impressed because I was like, oh, they did a couple Spanish ones. I was like, no, they also did Indian and Russian.
Yeah, it's cool.
And there's. Yeah, there's one that's in Dutch. So, I mean, it's pretty impressive what they did because, you know, there's basically kids all over the world
to
watch
these. They're very smart. And, I mean, when you look at Disney's social media, I've seen different shows that Ryan will watch on Disney. I've gone on Facebook and, like, searched the title of the show. And then I see there's official pages, but they're in different languages. Mm-hmm. They're like, there's, like, for example, there's, like, the Phineas and Ferb Spanish Facebook page, which is verified. And there's, I don't even know if there's an American one anymore. But, like, they go and they've created whole social media blocks for different countries.
Yeah.
And so instead of these countries having to seek out the American one and not have the right language, like.
Or make their own.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They're like lab teams that are working on these for the different languages for the different countries. And so their social media is very savvy. And, you know, for a company like Disney, you'd expect it. But a lot of companies don't have that wide of a view. You know, they're in Los Angeles, they're in Florida, they're in, you know, all these different places. And like, they're just thinking so local when, you know, the global audience is bigger than the United States. And
well, you need to think locally, but you need to act globally.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I watched a making of for the Jungle Book, and it was really cool. Favreau is talking about it, and when they approached him, they showed him, you know, some sort of treatment and just some, you know, previs and stuff like that. And they had gone a lot darker. And he is the one who was like, could we maybe pull a little bit more inspiration from the original?
Yeah.
And they were like, okay, tell us more. But yeah, they were going a little more on the PG-13 scale.
Well, you know, it makes me wonder if this was originally intended to be the counterbalance to Pete's Dragon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So, and I'm also glad that they listened to him.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, see, Disney, because what Disney and Marvel have gotten right so far is not to go dark. You do not have to go dark just because Nolan did it with Batman.
Yeah,
it's like it worked once.
Appropriately.
Right, but it's
especially
like.
Especially coming off the heels of Batman. Of Robin.
Right, but it's like.
But that being said, like, I wouldn't, like, Jungle Book. I don't think for the most part, it's not this beloved property. If they like,
no, it's an outlier. And Disney,
like not to the degree that, you know, if they took,
Beauty and the Beast and made it dark.
But I think that like they could have gotten away with it in the same way that like with Pete's Dragon, that has nothing to do with the original.
Yeah.
And that was the goal from the outset. Yeah. They're like, you're going to take the name as a starting point and that's
where's
it.
Where's the fan outrage? Maybe, where's the Pete's Dragon?
Keep them green, right?
If you can keep them green, that'd be awesome.
Yeah. It's like there's no outrage like there has been with Ghostbusters and all these other properties. Pete's Dragon, people are like, oh, thank God they're remaking.
Thank you.
Yeah, you recast the Apple Dumpling Gang with all women. Nobody's going to care.
Yeah. Oh. So, anyway, so that's interesting.
maybe rides again, but I don't know.
Apple Dumpling Gang, first movie I saw in the theater. It was Apple Dumpling Gang.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Mine was The Little Mermaid.
Oh, shut up.
I'm just saying.
I took a date to The Little Mermaid. That's how old I was.
What was your first movie?
Oh, my God. I can't. It was, pretty sure it was a James Bond.
Did it have sound?
It did. It was probably...
Well, not the piano guy.
Goldfinger.
Oh.
So it had color, too.
Yeah, it was... I'm sure it was James Bond.
Okay, cool. How old were you, do you think?
Oh, probably three.
Just a little kid.
Two. Yeah. It's forever cemented his love of Octopussy.
I had shadow dancing.
Yeah.
What? Who was the? Who was James Bond in that? In Goldfinger?
Sean Connery.
Yeah. Yeah. Who was your first Bond?
My first Bond. It's funny. I was never a Bond guy. Still am not.
Yeah.
So this is going to be really weird. My first Bond was Sean Connery. But
the second time around.
No, but it was a never say never again.
No wonder you're not a Bond guy. Yeah.
That was it. Oh, right there.
But that was my first
Bond. Oh, that went so bad. Yeah.
Mine was Pierce Brosnan.
Mm, yeah.
GoldenEye was good, though, wasn't it?
I don't think I've ever
GoldenEye
seen
was
it.
Great.
GoldenEye is a good movie. That was really my first good one. So like that.
And The World Is Not Enough was really good.
Yeah.
And then Tomorrow Never Dies, and then Die Another Day. I was like, that was terrible.
But
GoldenEye was good.
Yeah,
because it was the good Bond that we kind of really
he
wanted
had gadgets,
to see.
Gadgets, and it was good.
And then you know the next one was good, and mm-hmm. that was the one with Michelle Yeoh. Although it was a little convoluted, and then the next two were and then when it was the ice palace, the invisible car.
Yeah.
I was like, oh man,
yeah. I don't think
Roger Moore'd up the joint.
Yes, they did.
Yeah, I don't think I've gone back and watched that last one. So anyway, so Pete's Dragon 1.5 times its budget. So maybe they're happy with that. So number four, Kubo and the Two Strings. Has anyone seen that?
I
want to too. It's a shame because it just looks. I'm gonna have to at least catch on video.
Yeah.
It just looks like such a labor of love, and it's supposed to be so good. But anyway, at least it's still hanging up in the top of the list here. Number four with 6.4 million or 8.6 over the 4-day weekend. So that does put it on its $60 million budget. It puts it at about close to 40 worldwide. So it's still got a ways to go. It's unfortunate. But and I mean, I'm saying that without having seen it, but I've just heard so many good things, and all the other movies are so good.
Yeah.
So anyway, we'll have to follow that one and see what it does on video. Number five, Sausage Party, still hanging at the top of the list as well. 5.3 million, 6.7 million over the holiday weekend. And Sausage Party has made, around a 90 million domestic and 10 million foreign. So it's broken that 100 million mark.
Have you guys seen that?
I have not.
You have?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll wait. I just feel like I don't need to see it.
It was way overhyped. And really? Brian Spath, who was a guest on the show, were you not here that week?
I don't think he was.
He agreed. I mean, he was on the same page, too. It had so much hype, and it was just really long, and it was really contrived. It was like Seth Rogen trying to imitate Seth Rogen.
Oh, no.
You know?
Yeah.
It was.
Its selling point was really just
It was the first R-rated animated CG feature.
You know, and it was just like, it just seems like when that is your whole point of being is to just, you know, be
first
ironic.
Yeah.
Then it's like, that's all you have to aspire to is just to, you know, make sure that the next joke is as raunchy.
Yeah. I think
at a certain point, it's just going to be like, no, okay.
Yeah. I think the people that are enjoying it and going to see it are enjoying the shock factor of having these little cutesy animated characters say these things. Yeah. And it's kind of a novelty, but at the end of the day, the story really drags. It's a very slow paced story. It's not funny, very forced humor, just, you know, F this, F that. It's just very, you know, again, like Superbad, awesome movie.
Sure.
We all love Superbad. That was Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg, genius. And it's like these guys are, you know, we're making an animated movie and we're going to try to make it like Superbad, you know, like an impression of themselves. And so at the end of the day, it's like there were a few things that were funny and did get laughs. But by the time it was over, I'm like, God, I would never sit through that again. It's not going to be like a home video quotable darling. You know, it's just.
Well, I mean, just speaking of Ren and Stimpy, I mean, the fun, cool thing about Ren and Stimpy is that it did have the shock value, but it was also short and digestible.
And it was smart.
An hour and a half. Ren and Stimpy would just be relentless.
Right. No, their little segments were perfect and they were really cleverly written. I mean, that was a show that was great. Yeah.
Not the second time.
When they brought it back,
it was like, I mean, when they brought it back, it was just like, this
absolutely
is a mess.
No, thought like the R-rated one. Ugh. It was terrible. And, you know, I've talked to Bob Camp a couple of times when he was here at Comic-Con and, you know, he wasn't involved with those. John Kay took those. And
yeah.
That's when John Kay basically kicked out all the creators.
Yeah.
I mean, and said, yeah, I'm going to go sell this and take all the money. And like, they didn't get rights. They didn't get anything. He was like, I created it and took it away.
Yeah.
And ruined it.
Awful.
And ruined it for everybody because now they can't, you know, they, everyone that remembers Ren and Stimpy thinks about that last adult show.
Ugh.
And it was horrible. I remember going back and watching it for the first time since it aired on MTV or wherever it was. And when I went back and watched that adult version, I was like, oh my God, they did this? Ren and Stimpy? It was them. Just like Sausage Party does. Yeah. The same thing where you watch it and you're like,
that's too bad.
At least these aren't beloved characters, you know, that you grew up with on a kid's show. But so anyway, it broke $100 million, so they can't be disappointed with that on a $19 million budget. We'll see what their budget adds up to with all the lawsuits from the animators.
There are some people disappointed.
Yeah. So not even really something to laugh about, but it's pretty sad that they kicked all those people to the curb. Number six, Bad Moms. Another $5/$6.3 million over the weekend here. And that movie is another huge success. $20 million, pretty similar budget, right? It is now at about $105 million domestic and another $30 million foreign. So you're talking about over $130 million on its 20 budget.
Man, that is a lot of, that is a lot of girls' nights.
That is a lot. But I saw it. Did you either you end up
I
seeing
did
this?
Not see it.
I'm telling you, the thing about this movie here is I can see how it would be a girls' night out, definitely a mom's night out. But it's funny. They do not cater. It is not just like in jokes. It's not something that's catered to a female demographic versus a male. It is a funny movie. And talk about...
And I'm not being sexist when I say that, by the way, because I want to clarify, because that was like a planned girls' night
for
my wife.
No, absolutely no.
Because they were all like, yeah, we'll all go. Go for it.
As soon as it came out.
I want to see it.
Yeah, no, definitely. I understand. And like Katie made plans with her best friend a month ahead to see it.
Right.
Her mom and her sister went and saw it opening weekend, which they're not necessarily, I would think of as opening weekend people. So no, I mean, that's how it is. They're doing it for sure. But like when I went to see it, because Katie really wanted to, I mean, I wasn't really like, I was like, okay, I'll go see it. I know you want to. And I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Well, the bridges of Madison County. Okay.
No, it's funny. And I think I gave like a little mini review of it. But like those comedians, those women, I mean, the jokes are hysterical. Like they have great chemistry together. So catch it at least when it comes on video if you can't go to the theater. But it is fun. So I would definitely recommend that one. But $130 million on that. That is tremendous. Number seven, Hell or High Water. So that's another movie that we've done recently, and a good movie. So I'm glad to see it sticking around, because
it's not sticking around; it's creeping up. Like this, it broke last week. It was number one on the indie chart, but now it's broken into like just the mainstream. Yeah. Now it's also a light week for movies, but still,
have they added screens?
I think they have, because I believe this actually outgrew. I think last week it only did about $3.9 million. So the fact that it's at 4.86 for the weekend, is like it's trending up.
So they're doing like a Wes Anderson thing where they open small and then...
Well, then what I was going to mention was that its first week of release limited was 620,000. Its first week of wide release the next weekend, 3.5 million. And now you have 3 weeks later, it's done over 4 million.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's huge.
Amazing.
That is huge for it. So word of mouth is nothing but good and definitely responsible for this surge here. So, it had a $12 million budget. And I think I've got the estimates up to this weekend were about 11. So I believe that doesn't include that four from this weekend. So, you know, about 15 million on a 12, and it's still going. So that's great. I'm glad to see that making its money back.
Yeah,
definitely deserves it. Number eight, War Dogs, with 4.7/5.9 million. So that one is it's already at 30 million, another 15 million domestic. So after this weekend, it's up around $50 million, and I do not have a budget on that one. I feel like it's supposed to make a lot more than 50 million though.
Yeah, my guess is the budget on this is probably 40 to 50.
Yeah, I mean, you've got Todd Phillips, the guy that directed the Hangover trilogy, which was a successful franchise, and obviously before that, tons of comedies. Mm-hmm. And then you've got Miles Teller and Jonah Hill, who definitely is, you know, can sell a movie, a comedy. And I don't know. What do you think? Do you think people were just confused? Like, is this a funny movie? Is it a serious movie based on a real story? Like, what do you think happened with it?
I don't know. I think that I just think it's a weird time for a movie like this. And I mean, it kind of feels like they were trying to have their cake and eat it too, where it's sort of an Oscar bait kind of movie, but it still has that edge. It definitely wanted to kind of be A Wolf of Wall Street sort
of
vibe.
Yeah, that's what I was going to kind of compare it to. It feels like they were trying to make it that, but it just isn't good enough to be.
And I will say, and I enjoyed the movie, but it just didn't quite have the energy that it needed for a story like this. Like, it was going for it, but it just didn't. Like, Wolf of Wall Street, even at 3 hours, was just like, bam, 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 like, just
riveting,
nonstop.
Like, yeah.
And this was going for that, but it never quite got. It's not a bad movie, but it just never quite gets. Yeah. Like, it. Like, I really feel like they were, like, this close to making a great movie. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it just kind of quite couldn't get over the hump.
Yeah, that makes
sense.
Maybe
they need a little more auteurism.
Yeah. Yeah, and that could very well be.
Because what you're talking about is the difference between a Scorsese and a Todd Phillips.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Because one of those guys still has tricks up his sleeve. Right. He's been doing it for a long time.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Todd Phillips makes some really good R-rated comedies,
right.
And this looked like it was venturing into a territory he was not quite familiar with, right. You know, making
and
it serious.
And again, it's not a bad movie.
No.
Right? Like, I'm not bagging on it. I enjoyed it.
I've heard it's pretty good, but just not, it didn't have what it took to get to the next level of, like, blockbuster, everyone talking about it, major success kind of thing. So anyway, that one is up around $50 million on an undisclosed budget. Number nine, The Light Between Oceans. So
number nine.
If you notice, we haven't gotten to any new movies yet until number nine, and it's not the movie we chose. So it did bring in, $4.4/$5.4 million this weekend. And Tom, do you want to tell us a little bit about it?
Oh, I hated this movie so much.
What is it about? This is one I've not even seen.
So Michael Fassbender plays this guy. It's like takes place like in the 20s, and he's a World War One vet with, you know, the old timey version of PTSD kind of going on.
Yeah.
And he takes his job at a lighthouse, and the lighthouse is like in an extremely remote area. You know,
is this a metaphor?
I don't know.
This lighthouse.
I don't know if it's good enough to be a metaphor. the gimmick is that, like, nobody can get to this lighthouse. Like, he gets supplies delivered, like, once every 6 months.
Yeah.
And so, like, you know, but he wants that. He likes that isolation. So on mainland, he falls in love with this girl, and they marry, and they go back to this lighthouse. And
how do you get to mainland?
Well, like, he goes back every...
Is the dinghy?
Yeah. You know, like, every couple months. And when he goes to this town...
Mm-hmm.
Like,
he opens himself up a little bit.
Yeah, and like, and
he learns to love
before he goes off to the lighthouse. He kind of makes the rounds because you know, because the town pays for this guy because they need the lighthouse to bring in the commerce that comes with ships.
Because lonely in a lighthouse,
and so they end up living this idyllic life in this lighthouse. This movie, it like is like somebody turned an herbal tea commercial into a feature length film.
Is all like, there is a lighthouse? Like, is there no house on the island or whatever?
I mean, they have a house and then a lighthouse.
Right. Yeah. I mean, okay. I didn't know if they lived in like the bottom of the lighthouse.
No, they have like a house, but it's and so they're trying to start a family. She has a couple miscarriages, and so she's very distraught about that. And then a dinghy shows up with a dead guy and a living infant baby like 3 days after she has a miscarriage.
Aww.
And so they decide to keep the baby. And when they go to the mainland to have the baby christened, like he sees the lady who lost her husband and baby at sea. And then they decide to keep the baby.
The director is that Derek C. in France who did the Place Between the Pines.
Oh, well, that was a really
cool
movie.
He likes things
too.
Between
place,
things.
The Place Beyond the Pines.
So. Yeah.
And beyond. So subtlety is what this is.
Yeah. And so and then from there, it's like we should give this baby back. But she's so freaking out. They decide to keep the baby. And then it's like it's a 40 minutes of story packed into a 2-hour and 20-minute movie. It's just I just did not care for it. And then it didn't help that they're like, I don't know how, like, they want you to feel bad for this lady. And I'm like, well, I'm sorry you had a miscarriage, but this lady lost a husband and
baby.
Like, you don't get to take somebody else's baby. It's not like suffering is musical chairs and, like, I got the baby. It's mine now. Yeah. Like, it's, you know, I'm just like, I don't feel bad for this lady at all. I'm like, you're people. No. Like, there's just no two ways about it. And I'm like, I don't feel bad for anybody in this movie except the kid. And, and I will say, whoever was in charge of casting the kid, because there's two kids, there's like a 1-year-old, 2-year-old kid, and then there's like the kid at 5.
Wow. And so they really kept the baby.
They kept the baby for a long time. And then to make it worse, like if you watch the trailer, you think that they don't figure out that it whose baby it is until the kid's like five. No, they figure it out like within a week of having the baby. So like it's not
and they're alive.
The like, mom is alive.
Like they know whose baby it is and just steal the baby.
Yeah, they just decide they're gonna keep it. Yeah. And so I'm like, and you're supposed to feel bad for them. Like, oh, they what a rough choice for them because she had had a miscarriage. I'm like, you didn't invent miscarriages like that. They're rough. I'm not trying to trivialize them, but I don't think any rational human being is like, well, I have a miscarriage. I guess I'll just wander down to the maternity ward and pick one out.
Yeah, no, you feel bad. You feel bad for them because of the miscarriage. You don't feel bad for them because they have to return the kid that's not theirs.
It's not a blank check to go steal babies. And so, like, it was like, I was just like,
I mean, they tried that in Raising Arizona.
Right. Yeah.
And it still didn't work. Yeah.
But it was at least funny.
But it was funny.
But it was funny.
Is, I mean, Fassbender, I think.
And
is,
they had eight babies. They're not going to miss one high.
Yeah, one. I mean, one, right? That's okay. Yeah. And he got the best one.
Yeah.
And I mean, Fassbender, I think, is a really good actor. Is there anything redeeming about his performance? Or
I mean,
is
it's
he...
not. There, it's just. I thought it was an ugly story that they tried to shoot beautifully.
Yeah, right.
And it was just like. Nothing. Ugh. I'm like, I don't have any sympathy for these people.
So go ahead and stay true to our name and spoil this movie. So what happens?
Oh, okay. So so the husband Fassbender feels bad and he sends notes to the mom
5 years later.
Well, no, like almost instantly he sends a note to the mom saying like, hey, your baby's okay. Your baby's alive and is okay and being well cared for. Like that's gonna make her feel better.
So he like sends a ransom note, basically.
Not a ransom. Like, he's happy.
No,
anything,
but like he's
a happy hostage.
Yeah. Right, like I've got your.
And so then like 5 years later, like he has to give this speech about the anniversary of the lighthouse, and he sees her and he feels bad. And the baby, when they found it, had a rattle, like a very unique, like little metal rattle that looked like an owl. So he sends it to her. They post it. Someone had seen this baby with the rattle. They get outed. He gets a rat. They come to the island. And so he tells the wife, I'll take the fall. I'll say it was my idea. And then the wife is like, and then, so, but then there's still a dead guy, right? So they think he killed the guy to keep the baby, which he did not. And the wife won't back up his story that he didn't kill him because she's mad because he basically sent the rattle and that's what, you know.
Yeah. How stupid.
And so the kid who's like five now isn't really taking the new mom because of course. Mm-hmm. Then the mom comes to the baby stealer and is like, if you testify against your husband, I'll let you keep the kid.
What?
Because the kid's not bonding with me. And it'd been
I'll just like, let you keep the kid?
It had been like 4 days.
Not like I'll let you visit.
Yeah,
you
it had been like
kid?
4 days. And I'm just like, who? Like, you? Now you're an awful person.
Right.
Like, oh my God, this is horrible. What? Like, nobody in the story is a good person. But it wasn't presented like the movie felt they were bad people. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right.
Like, and
you're
so,
supposed to feel for these.
Yeah, and then at the last minute, for no reason whatsoever, the mom's like, I can't testify against him. I love him. And she backs up his story. And then I guess they both go to jail for a little while. And then it fast forwards to like 1950 and the baby stealing mom is has died and he's living by himself. And then the lady shows up with
the kid shows up and
is like, you know, is like, I still remember those days and I have a baby and can I come back and visit sometimes? Oh, okay. And that's how it ends.
I thought so you were going to say his... the real mom and him got together.
No.
Yeah, really big
no,
on
the,
it.
The daughter,
the kid
shows up.
Right,
and
right.
So
it's terrible.
It's just like, yeah, I just, so anyway.
Did you bring your tissues?
No, she wasn't that cute. I meant the mom.
No.
Just for the record.
Right. It's still wrong either way.
Okay.
So, rounding out the top 10, Jason... Wait a minute. The movie of the day isn't...
No, it is not.
Jason Bourne with $4.1/$5.4 million. Mm. We know what that is, Jason Bourne. I will say, Mechanic Resurrection, not in the top 10 in week 2. So that took a quick drop. Let's see. The Secret Life of Pets, $3.6 million. No Manches Frida.
Okay.
Okay. Uh-huh. That's $3.5 million. Star Trek
But it's all pesos, so it doesn't
matter. Oh, that's true. Star Trek Beyond, $2.4 million. Ben-Hur, $2.2
million.
What? Okay. Finding Dory, $1.9 million.
Maybe the movie of the day didn't actually open up, and we just we're in a, like a
this movie is getting beaten out by films at the dollar show.
So coming in at number 17,
oof,
Morgan with 1.8 million / 2.2 million opening weekend.
Should we even
number
do it?
17. I mean, just to be clear, this movie was predicted to beat The Light Between the Oceans, which was 9, so it yeah. should have been predicted around number 8.
Yeah.
It's number 17.
Well,
so
okay.
We'll see you next time. That's the box office.
Let's find out what's going on here.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Kevin.
You're welcome.
So I guess that's it for this episode. We'll go around the table and everybody can say where to find them.
This is Dan. You can find me on Twitter at DanGraney67, GRANEY.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. Don't forget, if you would like to continue the conversation online, you can find us at Facebook.com/RealSpoilers, on Twitter at RealSpoilers, or on our website. Not that you can really talk to us there, but on our website at RealSpoilers.com. We're on iTunes. Go there, rate, review, subscribe. And if you don't do the iTunes, if you're an Android user like a nice, rational human being, I just say that because it irritates Dan. I really don't care that much.
Unless you get that new one, because that thing's blowing up.
What? Oh, the Note?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I don't have. I actually just got the Galaxy S7 Edge.
Oh, good, because the Note 7 blows up.
Yeah, no, I got the Edge.
It's literally blowing
up. Hey, there was a time when Apple made an iPhone that the antenna didn't work without a bumper case. So, I mean, there's.
Actually, that never happened to me.
And it bent in your back pocket.
Right, but it happened to me and lots of people.
No,
you know,
but
like,
it didn't explode.
No, that's good.
So, but if you don't use iTunes, we're available like pretty much wherever any other podcast is. Stitcher,
Acast,
all those places.
Zune Store.
Is that even still around? They shut down the Zune Store, didn't they?
I think so.
I think.
But if you have a Zune, you can still subscribe to the iTunes RSS. So
can you on a Zune?
Yeah. You can. I mean, the Zune still takes feeds.
I didn't think you could subscribe to an iTunes feed through
it's just an RSS feed.
Gotcha.
Like iTunes technically uses Acast, so it's a feed that doesn't have to do with any company really. It's just a web address.
I see.
So no, if you have a Zune, you can still load up. Timmy Two Zune still listens every week, and Timmy, write into us, message us to verify, but I believe he listens every week on a Zune.
That is commitment.
His two Zunes.
That's commitment on two levels, to us and to Zunes. Yeah. So good for him. So anyway, but wherever finer podcasts are sold, and by sold, of course, we mean given away for free.
In 10 years, having an old Zune will be cool.
It'll be like a handlebar mustache
the
or vinyl.
The mustache guys drinking their craft beers and listening to on a Zune.
I mean, I think we'll have to say like the 10 years from now, the future hipsters will probably be like, maybe instead of mustaches, it'll be just like Amish beards.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and no mustache.
It'll be like just the bottom part of your goatee.
Yeah. Exactly.
That'll be a thing.
It'll be like Vanilla Ice goatee.
Yeah. Oh. So anyway, that's it for this episode. Coming up on the next one, we will tackle Morgan, which will be quite spoiler ridden for you because mathematically speaking, you have not seen it.
Yeah.
So there you go. Until then, you've been warned.
Give me a C, a bouncy C. A C. A birthday comes but once a year. The stars come out to bend your ears with tales of yesteryears gone by. You get a little cake and maybe some pie. And then there's a gift. It better not be shoes. Cause if it's shoes, it's going back. Da-da-da.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
D, whatever the hell else you want to put in there, Beth.